Every year we pray and we ask the Lord, God, give us a theme or give us what you're saying, what you want to say to the church. Last year, I asked this in first service. I'm going to ask this in this service. And if you're online, you could type it. Who remembers what we felt like the Lord gave us a word for last year? Anybody? Crickets. Some people are saying that isn't, some congregations said 2020 vision. That isn't what we felt like the Lord was saying. Did anybody remember? Yes. Oh, where is it? They get a gold star. Find a gold star, Pastor. Gold star. Yes and amen. We wanted to, we felt like the Lord was saying to us it would be a year to hold on to the promises of God, to like never before. Some in the prophetic world called it the year of the mouth, where we need to declare, we need it to declare the word of the Lord. And I just want to say, how many of you found that to be true? We had, listen, I know in my home, we declared Psalms 91, and I still declare Psalms 91 daily over my home. We declare the things of God and the promises of God, and we found that to be true. We need to do that all the time, but I felt like the Lord, we felt like the Lord was just shifting us into a different gear. So this year, as we were seeking the Lord and praying, and fast, and just really saying, God, what do you want to say? This word, victory, kept resonating in our heart. I kept hearing the Lord saying, victory, victory, victory. And I said to that, what? Lord, have you seen our world? What? Because I was reflecting on 2020. Here's some things we learned about 2020. I have some pictures, and Sabrina's going to help me. One thing we learned about 2020 is we all should have bought stock in Zoom. We all should have done that. Do you know last year in January you could have bought stock at $50 a share in Zoom? But right now, I checked as of the other day, it's $570 a share. And it's projected to continue to go up. Man, why did I miss that opportunity? Here's something else we learned about 2020. We all learned that we were to stockpile toilet paper. Man, I should have known that. That really I don't need insulation for my house. I need toilet paper for the walls. Toilet paper. Stock up toilet paper. We all also learned in 2020 that everybody is an outdoor person. Lock us up and you will find out. We are outdoor people. I want to go to the park. I never go to the park. I like the park. Tell me I can't go to the park. I'm fine at a park. We all wanted to be outdoor. We wanted to find a beach. We wanted to find somewhere. We also learned in 2020 that being an educator is very difficult. Being a teacher is hard work. Doing online classes makes our teachers do that. Trying to teach an online things is very difficult. And we also learned that being a parent and trying to take your kids to navigate them through home study is super challenging. It's super, super challenging. Things we learned about in 2020. We also learned that church is essential. When we were told not to meet and everything in 2020, it was very difficult. We learned that it was essential. Church is essential. So 2021, here we are. Turn to somebody and say, welcome to 2021. And God is saying victory. 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 So how does that look? This is what this is a picture. One of the sweet people in our church, she goes walking almost every day. And she has claimed a trail I know that the park department doesn't know, but that is her trail. And she, on this trail, she takes a walk every day, and she takes a photo, and she posted on her social media. And so she took I was looking at this picture, and I saw this picture, and then I saw another picture of the same kind of area that she had taken a different day. And so one day, can you see the difference? So what's the difference? You can't see the mountains because why? There is a fog. You can't see the mountains because it's foggy. Does that mean the mountains aren't there? What if I had never traversed this area before and this is my first glimpse and I'm going, I might think, man, there are no mountains there. But the reality is there's mountains. Can I tell you that's what 2020 was? It's foggy. We don't see everything clearly. And as we navigate into 2021, we're not seeing everything clearly. I'm going to ask this question, and you online can interject. What happens when you're driving and you hit dense fog? What are you supposed to do? Some of you guys are all saying slow down, but that's really not what you're supposed to first do. You're supposed to put on your lights. You're supposed to, because you don't want to, I mean, you do need to slow down, but you don't want to slam on the brakes. Somebody behind you, you want to put on your lights. Can I tell you, the scripture says you are the light of the world. It's time to turn up your light a little bit brighter than you have ever before, because we are in foggy times. This is kind of a foggy time. And so I believe that I just really wanted to share that picture. It has nothing to do with my sermon other than I just wanted to share that with you. Isn't that good? Okay. So we're going to look at, let me turn to Exodus 13. And Exodus 13 verse 17 says this. So Pharaoh finally let the people go. And God did not lead them along the main road that runs through the Philistine territory, even though that was the shortest. Oh, did you catch that? God didn't lead them onto the shortest route into the promised land. Scripture goes on to say, if the people were faced with a battle, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. So God led them on the roundabout way through the wilderness toward the Red Sea. Thus, the Israelites left Egypt like the army ready for battle. Can I just tell you, the road to victory isn't always the easy route. It's not always the easy thing. And so listen, there's no shortcuts in the kingdom of God. If you want something from the Lord, you've got to be willing to fight for it. You've got to be willing to dig your feet in. It's going to be harder than you imagined. But if you're willing to go through the process, there's glory ahead. God knew that for the children of Israel. He knew that if I just take them really quickly into the promised land, they're just going to want to return. Let's keep reading. Verse 20. The Israelites left Succoth. 2020 was our Succoth. Man, it Succoth. So they left Succoth and they encamped at Etham on the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went ahead of them and he guided them through the camp and he guided them during the day with a pillar of cloud and provided light at night with a pillar of fire. This allowed them to travel by day or by night, and the Lord did not move the pillar of cloud or the pillar of fire. Its place in front of the people. God was guiding them. I believe, this is what I believe the Lord is saying. We need to be a people that are led of the Spirit. Romans 8:14 says, those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. We don't need to be led by our emotions. We don't need to be led by our ideas, our feelings, our public opinion. You don't need to be led by any of those things. You need to be led by the Spirit of God. That's how the children of Israel were led. They followed that pillar, and wherever it led, that's where they went. The Lord is wanting to lead us. Look at Psalms 143:10 in the Passion. I think this needs to be our heart cry for this, especially for these 21 days. This is my heart's cry. I just want to obey all you ask of me. So teach me, Lord, for you are my God. Your gracious spirit is all I need. So lead me on good paths that are pleasing to you, my one and only God. Can I just say, I think a lot of times we face battles that we never were intended to fight because we go to places the Lord never led us to. God never led you into that area, into maybe that relationship, and now you're in some relationship with somebody who doesn't obey the Lord, doesn't listen to the Lord, and doesn't want to follow Jesus, and you're like, why is this so hard, God? He never wanted you in that relationship.
That's right. That's right.
Listen, you, God leads us into God. We need to be led of the Lord. We don't need to be led by every wind and every feeling and every emotion and everything. Sometimes, listen, can I just say this to you? Every step matters that you make. Every sermon you listen to matters. Every Sunday, can I just step a little bit further and say every Sunday matters? If you've been staying at home because you were nervous or whatever, can I say be led of the Lord? I believe that, yes, some people need to stay home. Absolutely. Because the Lord's leading them. But some of you are in your stretchy pants and you haven't moved. And the stretchy in your stretchy pants is about to be too much stretchy. So come on. Listen, every step matters. Everything we do. I used to teach the kids, oh, be careful, little feet, where you go. Oh, be careful, little feet, where you go. Because the Father up above, he's looking down with love. Oh, be careful, little feet. Listen, be careful where you go. Be careful. 2020 isn't a year that we get on the coastal cruise ship, the Christianity cruise ship, and 2021. I got to move us in the year. 2021 and go, okay, let's just see what happens. Let's just see. Que sera, sera. Whatever, you know, whatever will be, the future's not mine. Case. It isn't. It's time to get some spiritual weaponry. It's time to understand you are in a battle. And if you didn't know it, this is one thing I have learned, that Satan, this is what I've learned about 2020, Satan wants to destroy everything he can. He's got a big old bullseye on you. If you're a child of God, that bullseye is against you. It's against your family. It's against your finances. It's against your health. I have seen more people of God struggle in their health this last year, than ever have. You are in a battle. You better recognize that the enemy's out. He's an unseen force, and we've got a battle. Yeah. There's people in this room that need to know. How many of you would say, I need victory over my finances in 2021? Come on, be honest. Yeah. There's no shame in that. Does anybody want to be debt-free in 2021? Yeah. Listen, we're believing God. We need to trust that the Lord can do that. God wants us to prosper, not so that we can just hoard finances on ourselves, but so that we can be a channel of his victory to somebody else. What if the Lord says to you, give your car away to some single person? Can you do it? Do you own it? Or are you just going to hand them the bank note? You've got to get ready. So we need victory over our finances. The more we walk in victory, the more we can help others walk in victory. Some in this room need victory over bad habits. You gotten in a habit. Maybe a habit of gossip. Maybe a habit of being lazy. You know, if you say, I don't have any bad habits, Pastor Colleen, I do not have bad habits.
Denial.
We all have bad habits. We all need something we need to win victory over. Some of you are battling for victory in a relationship. You're battling victory for a marriage. You're battling for victory and patience in your life. You're battling because you need peace in your life. You need joy in your life. What is your battle for 2021? What is your victory? What do you need to see victory in? Jude, verse 3, because there's only one chapter in Jude, says this, Dear friends, although I was eager to write to you about the salvation we shared, listen, he's saying, I wanted to talk to you about Jesus and how awesome he is. I wanted to do that. But instead, I felt compelled to write and urge you to contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted to God's holy people. Yeah. You guys know what contend means?
Fight.
Battle, fight. The most important victory that we're going to have is a battle for our faith. And notice that he's saying here, I urge you. It's a battle for your faith and my faith. It's our individual faith. We've got to battle because the enemy is coming at you individually.
That's right.
So my question, are you ready to get some victory? Ephesians 6, maybe many of us are familiar with this. It talks about the whole armor of God. Paul says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you'll be able to stand firm against the strategies of the devil. Paul is giving a visual here. Remember, in Bible days, they're not battling with guns they're not battling with guns. They're battling with swords. This is hand to hand, baby. Listen, they're battling. They're intense. Paul is saying, get dressed, get ready for God. Put on your whole armor. The enemy comes, John 10:10 says, the thief comes but to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus then goes on to say, but I've come to give you life and life more abundant. Paul is saying here in Ephesians, he's saying, you be strong. You be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. He goes on to say, this is so important. Put on whose armor? It's not your armor. I used to think, oh man, it's my armor. I have to put on, oh, I got to be really good. I got to put on my righteousness. My righteousness stinks. It stinks. I put on Jesus. And I put on him. The battle that we're fighting is a fight in the invisible. Look at verse 12. It says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Your battle isn't against people. It's not against a government leader. It's not against a president. It's not against a speaker of the house. It's not against a mayor or police or boss or your spouse. It's not against somebody, your neighbor, who's really annoying. Listen, but here's our battle. It's not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. Our battle is in the invisible. You can't, listen, don't just think, oh, I can't stand these people. That's not the heart of God. That is not the heart of God. And we have to have the heart of God if we're going to fight. Our fight is not against people. It's against spiritual darkness.
Oh, that's right.
The strife in your house, the inability to decide, the indecisiveness you feel, the confusion over your mind, the addictions that you're going through, the bad habits that you keep returning to, the anxiety, the fear. These are not battles just over an individual that is keeping you from something. These are a battle from dark forces.
That's right.
Recognize it.
Yeah.
And I think this year we're going into, specifically, this is what I felt like the Lord was saying, we're going to have to contend or battle a little bit harder than ever before to see a victory. And it's going to start in our life. And are you guys ready? I'm going to tell you four things. Pay attention. Here we go. We're going to have to battle for our mind. We're going to have to battle our mouth. We're going to have to battle for morale. And we're going to have to battle for movement. Let's talk about that thing between your ears. Your mind. Your thinking. Romans 8:7 says this. The mind governed by the flesh, by our carnal man, is hostile to the things of God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so.
Right.
Your mind does not want to. If you allow your thoughts to be controlled by your feelings, your flesh, your ideas, your views, it becomes hostile, the scripture said, to the things of God.
Right.
If we want to walk in victory, we cannot walk governed to the flesh. We cannot walk dictated by the flesh. The flesh, Romans goes on, he says, there's actually a war between your flesh and your spirit. It's war. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, this is how, so we're talking about our thought, our thinking. Here, our destroyed arguments, all arrogance raised against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive.
Amen.
To the obedience of Christ. Every thought.
Yeah.
Romans 12:2 says, don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a person by changing the way you
think.
The way you think. And then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing. Listen, you have to fight for your thought life.
That's right.
You have to fight for it. And when I think about fighting, I just had to, can I just take you on a little trip? We're going to go into the book of Joshua and just for a few minutes here. So Joshua chapter 1, because I think, man, he was a warrior. Joshua was a warrior. But we see Joshua 1:1. We see something that Joshua is getting ready to step into a new season, into a new area, but he's discouraged. The person who he has been like a father to him, has been his mentor, has been with him, has died. Let's pick it up, verse 1. After the death of Noah, the son Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses, your aide. Moses is, my servant is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give you, to give to them, to the Israelites. So what's God doing here? Moses is very, Joshua is very sad. The person he cared about, his mentor, has died. But can I tell you, God doesn't want, sometimes this is such a tendency. When something somebody dies that's super important in our life, or something that we held on to that was very dear to us disappears, we want to stay there. We just want to hang out there. We want to linger in grief. We just want to stay. But I think God is saying to Joshua, don't stay here. I want to take you somewhere, Joshua. I want to take you to victory. So you're going to have to get ready. So that's what he's saying. Get ready. Get ready. Everybody say, get ready. So God is saying, get ready. So anytime we lose somebody, that is so important. You might want to hold on to that. I'm not saying don't grieve for him. I'm saying don't let it hold you there. If you lost a job or something, or something happened, and you might just want to just linger there. Woe is me. Gloom, despair, agony on me, deep dark depression. Listen, you might want to linger there. Don't linger there.
That's right.
That's the tendency. Verse 3 says, that God says this, I will give you, he's talking to Joshua, every place where you set your feet, as I promised to Moses. What's God saying to Joshua? He's saying, fix your eyes on me. Fix your eyes on my goodness. Fix your eyes on my faithfulness, on my protection, on my provision. He's saying, if you'll do that, Joshua, everywhere, I'm telling you, everywhere you go, Joshua, I'm going to give you.
Amen.
You know, 2020, we just tried to stay open. We just, as a church, we were trying to stay open. We were trying to navigate. We were trying to think about how to do church online. But can I tell you, I believe the Lord wants 2021 for us to take some ground. Listen to verse 6 through 4 through 6, it says, your chariot, the Lord's speaking there to Joshua, he says, your territory will extend from the deserts of Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite countries and the Mediterranean Sea in the west, and no one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give. God is saying there's a battle ahead, Joshua, but be strong.
Amen.
Get strong. The last few weeks, just throughout the night, I wake up 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, and then I struggle to get right back to sleep. And in my spirit, in my, just my inner man, not an audible voice, but just inside, this is, I hear, pray, 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 Colleen, pray for your husband, pray, pray, pray for your kids, pray, pray, pray for your church, pray, 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 pray for your grandkids, pray. The Spirit of the Lord, I think he's saying, pray, pray, because listen, we have to know prayer is a weapon. And so when Paul is saying in Ephesians 6, he talks about the whole armor of God. He tells that belt of truth. It's, you know, we need that. We need God's truth to navigate the lies of the enemy. We need the helmet of salvation to think about the things of God. We need the breastplate of righteousness. We put our faith in Christ alone. He is alone my righteousness. It's what he did on Calvary that makes me righteous. Not because of my good deeds. There's not one thing in Colleen that's good enough to earn salvation. It is Christ in me, the hope of glory. I put on the shoes of the gospel of peace because I'm on a mission. You're on a mission. He wants you to strap on shoes because he wants you to bring the Prince of Peace everywhere you step your feet. Take high this shield of faith. You know, it's interesting, this piece of armor, because the rest were to put on, this were to take up. The shield of faith to quench all the fiery darts of the enemy. We've got to take hold of our faith. Remember, we have to contend for our faith. It's so easy to put it down. To just be like, I'm tired. I don't want to do this anymore. You got to lift up that shield of faith. Be strong. Take the shield of faith. Hold on to your faith. Don't waver. There are many, many voices that are telling us to lay that faith aside. Don't do it.
Right.
Hebrews 10:23 says, let's hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who is promised is faithful. And a lot of times this piece of armor gets missed. It's prayer. Praying. Pray in the Spirit, Ephesians 6:18. On all occasions, stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. And listen, when you're praying for people, don't pray. You know, sometimes, come on. Sometimes you guys might see some politician or somebody on TV and you think, I'm going to pray for them. Lord, can you just crack that stupid smile off of their face? Come on, you guys know I've been in your prayer closet, don't you? I heard you. We can't be like that. We can't. We need to pray fervently for people. Some people in this room maybe are online. You haven't even developed a personal, consistent prayer life ever in your life. Take these 21 days to begin. Take this time to say, every day, I'm going to meet with you, Lord, and begin to pray. You don't have to have special, fancy words. He wants to hear your words. He wants to hear your voice. He wants to hear what you have to say. So take 21 days. You say, I can't in the house. You don't know the chaos. Go for a walk. Get in your car. Go somewhere. You don't have to stay in your house. If that distracts you, get out of your house. Come here. If you're in the area, come here. We're going to have the door open Tuesdays on Fridays, all during the day. You can come in here. You can have you and Jesus time. We want, so pray, pray. And if we're going to have victory for the battles, we're going to not only have to pray, but we're going to have to get into the Word of God. Yeah. The sword of the Spirit, the scripture Ephesians tells us, this word is like a sword. Yeah. And I can just wield it out, and I can use the Word of God and really do damage, or I can bring healing. And so I just want to encourage you, if you haven't gotten into a habit of reading God's word, it's time to do it. Yeah. Again, take this time. The word is our life. It's our bread. It's our strength. I just want to say this. This isn't a bunch of ideas and old, outdated ideas and thoughts. This is the word of God. Yeah. We're that kind of church. Yes, we are. And so not only do we need to war on our mind, but we need to war out from our mouth. Let me tell you, we have to war our mouth.
True.
Battle. There's a battle. And the Passion Version in Proverbs 18:21 says it like this. Your words are so powerful that they will kill or they'll give life. And the talkative person will reap its consequences. Another translation says life and death is in your tongue. Life and death. You can speak life or you can speak death. If you're a sarcastic person or somebody who is constantly negative or pessimistic, guess what? 2021, you need to battle.
Yeah.
You need to battle your words. You need to allow the word of God to start coming out of your mouth. Let me just phrase it like this. You say, well, have you seen our world? Yes, I have seen my world. I don't live in a bubble. I'm out of the bubble. That was me in a bubble. So, listen. Have you guys ever noticed the weathermen on a TV? A weather person will come on and they'll say, tomorrow at 4 o'clock, clouds will blow in. And those clouds are bringing in a front. And by 5:30, we're going to have sprinkles. Sprinkles. And by 6 o'clock, snow flurries will begin. By 7 o'clock, 6 feet of snow. You know what we all do? We hear that and we go, get your umbrella, get your galoshes, get your jacket. Uh-oh, it's coming. It's coming. We believe a weatherman because, why? He's speaking things out. Now let me ask you. Have you ever heard of a weatherman being not accurate? Listen, even though there is a history of weather people not being accurate, they still predict. They still are speaking it out. Don't get hindered from speaking the things of God just because you don't see everything right away. You need to start speaking those things out, believing that God is doing something, even if you don't see it. Psalms 19:14 says this, may these words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord my God. Proverbs 17:27 out of the Passion, can you bridle your tongue when your heart is under pressure? That's how you show that you're wise. An understanding heart keeps its cool, calm, and collected no matter what you face. Watch your words.
Yeah.
And can I say, watch your texting?
Yeah.
and you're typing, your letter sending or whatever you're doing, watch it. All of those things. Watch your words. Watch your thinking. The third thing is watch your morale. And you guys know what morale is? It's the encouragement. It's confidence. Have you guys ever seen a sports team and they start losing? They're down. They lose. They're down by 6 points. They're down by 10 points. They're down by 12 points. I don't watch sports, so. But I do. I did go to my kids' games, and I would see this time and time again. My kids would start, their team would start losing. And then pretty soon they get like, I give up. They're out there playing soccer. The soccer ball comes. They didn't even try. They gave up. Can I tell you, I believe that we have to contend for our morale.
Amen.
David, Joshua, when they felt discouraged, they encouraged themselves, the scripture said. In 2 Timothy 1:6, it says, "For this reason I remind you, fan into the flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of hands." You got to fan it into flame. Sometimes it's going to go a little dormant. Sometimes your morale is going to go down. Let's look back in Joshua. So Joshua, he's on this new mission of the Lord, and we see in Joshua chapter 2, let's pick it up at verse 8. So Joshua, the morale is down. So Joshua has a low morale, and he says, you know what we need to do? We're going to send a couple spies into the new land. We're going to have them check it out so that they can see what that promised land is. And then they can come back and they can give the report. And so Joshua sends these two spies in. And then when they go into the city, when they go in, they meet a lady. Her name is Rahab. She is on the outer wall of the city. We know that she has a window, so she's on the outer area. And her job is she's a prostitute. And many people believe she was in her 50s or more. She was trying to bring sexy back, I think, but she wasn't working. But you know what? She invites these guys into her house. And listen, something happens. Because no, I love this, that the Lord uses Rahab, because it shows me, man, God, you'll use anybody. If you will just open up the door and we'll let you in, you transform a life. It doesn't matter how bad it is. It doesn't matter how many people wrote it off. How many people wrote off Rahab? She's a prostitute. But when she opens her door and lets these guys in, her life is changed. Listen to her words in verse 8. "Before the spies lay down for the night, she went up to the roof and said to them, 'I know that the Lord has given you this land and that a great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in the country are melting in fear because of you. We've heard how the Lord dried up the waters of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt. And what you did in Shihon and Og and the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. And when we heard it, our hearts melted in fear, and everyone's courage failed them because of you. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on earth below.'"
Amen.
You think that didn't boost these guys' morale? They didn't know, they didn't see any victory at that point, but they are hearing, "We're afraid of you. We're terrified of you." And so when they get back to Joshua, they say, everyone's hearts are melting. Can I just tell you, that boosted morale? And here's the next thing, we have to battle for our movement. Let's look at Joshua 3:1. "Early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim and went to the Jordan, where they camped before crossing over." They had to camp, so before they cross over, they have to move out. They have to move.
Yeah.
Can I tell you, do you guys know what the biggest money-making industries in 2020 was?
Anybody?
Type it out if you think you know. What? Amazon was one of them? Netflix, Facebook, TikTok, Charter Communications actually was number one. It's on Spectrum TV, television. 2020 was about everybody watching somebody else. Watching other people, putting on your stretchy pants, crying. Other people, and we gave up visions. We gave up passion. Many quit reading their Bible. I heard many people tell me, I haven't even felt like I could read the Bible and pray. Many people gave up. They just gave up in 2020. But I believe that we're going to have to battle for movement.
That's right.
We've got to battle for the movement. Let's look at Joshua. There's an attitude. There's something that if you want victory, you're going to have to take personal responsibility.
Amen.
It can't be somebody else's responsibility. If you are being wakened up by somebody, or, you know, it's time to change. You've got to take personal responsibility. Say, I'm going to create a prayer time. I'm going to do, Pastor and I can't do it for you. You have to do it. Victory is gained by our choices, and it's maintained by our attitude. Joshua 4:12-13. Then men of Reuben, Gad, and half tribe of Manasseh crossed over. Ready? Ready for what? And in front of the Israelites, as Moses had directed them, about 40,000 armed for battle crossed over before the Lord to the plains of Jericho for war. Can you guys see it? They're crossed over. They got their morale. These guys are afraid of us. Come on, we're going to take them. The enemy, they are camping on the steps of the enemy. That is a bold move. Joshua moves them right there, right by the enemy camp. Now look at this. Chapter 5. So they're all, and now, and when all the Amorite kings west of the Jordan and all the Canaanite kings along the coastal region heard that the Lord had dried up the Jordan before the Israelites until they had crossed over, their hearts melted in fear, and they no longer had the courage to face the Israelites.
Awesome. Amen.
Man! They see, but they still haven't won that whole victory. Can you hand me that flag? So when the enemy, listen, James 4:7. So then, surrender to God, stand up to the devil, resist him, and what's the scripture say he's going to do? He's going to turn and flee. He's going to run away. The enemy knows that it's powerful when a church worships. Woo! Woo! We sing it. That was a really pitiful woo. When we are ready for war, when we are declaring victory, victory is ours. Victory. We don't praise God for current victories. We praise God because of the promises. They haven't won the battle. They're only hearing these reports. They're not winning battles. But they're praising. They're giving God the glory.
Amen.
Can you see the excitement? The excitement. The guys, I mean, how many? How many were there? 40,000. Woo! Can you see them with their swords? Come on, come on. Now listen, Joshua 5:2. And at the time, the Lord said to Joshua, make flint knives and circumcise the Israelites again. Can you see that? Woo! Wait, Joshua, what?
What are we doing? Can I moonwalk?
Verse 3, so Joshua made flint knives. They're at the gate of the enemy. They're camping there. He made flint knives, and what did he do? He circumcised the Israelites at Gilbeth-Heroth. These are grown men. No anesthesia. Listen, flint knives. Flint knives. Ow! I'm not even a guy and I say ow! They're at the enemy's gates. They've all been 40. They're all circumcised. They're weak. They're in pain. They're vulnerable. Look at verse 5, 4 and 5. Now this is why he did it. This is why God did it. All those who came out of Egypt, all the men of military age, died in the wilderness along the way after leaving Egypt. And all the people that came out have been circumcised. But all the people born in the wilderness during this journey from Egypt have not. They haven't been circumcised. They haven't been consecrated to the Lord. In the New Testament, Paul says it's the circumcision not of the flesh, it's the circumcision of the heart. Colossians 2:11 says this, when you come to Christ, you are circumcised, but not with physical procedure. Christ performs a spiritual circumcision, cutting away your old nature. Amen. It's stripping off everything that doesn't please him. He wants it cut off. Remember I told you earlier that Romans tells us that you're in a war, you're in this battle. I believe that the victory that we're going to see isn't going to be because we're shouting and we're waving flags and nobody's taking my house. No, I believe it's going to come with humility.
Yeah.
It's going to come with repentance.
Yeah.
It's going to come as we humble ourselves and position ourselves to seek the Lord. That's what God was doing. He was stripping away everything that made them think that they could take the land.
That's right.
Because in their weakness, he's going to be made strong.
Amen.
Matthew 23:12 says, for those who exalt themselves will be humbled, but those who humble themselves will be exalted.
Yeah. Right.
It's not going to be because we're pumping our spiritual muscles. It's not going to be that. It's going to be because we're vulnerable to the Lord. Because we go to him and we humble ourselves. This battle we're in, it is for your mind.
Amen.
It is for your mouth. It is for your morale. And it is for your movement.
Yeah.
But the movement the Lord is wanting us to make is a movement toward him and to surrender. To lay down everything that would hinder us. There's a scripture that says that the cares tangle us. They try to weave around us. Even good cares can try to choke the life out of you. We got to give it to the Lord. The battle belongs to the Lord. He's the one who's victor. He's the one who is worthy. Maybe you came in today and you said, even on the way, I messed up. Even on the way to church today, I don't know if God can do anything. He can. He can with you. If you'll surrender. It's called the circumcision of the heart. It's when we lay those things down and we say, we want you, Lord. The Lord wants us to be vulnerable. He wants a heart. That's the battle. That's the battle. It's a battle for you, and it's a battle in me. Because my arrogance wants to say, I'm okay. I got this. But just like the Israelites had to go and say, I am willing to cut everything away, we have to say, Lord, I'm willing. Show me. Show me what I need victory over in my life. Those habits. Show me where I allow things in my life to dominate and have control. I feel like the Lord wants somebody in here or somebody online to know you have been struggling with your words a lot. You feel judged because you consistently allow bad language, anger, to manipulate and dominate your life. But can I just tell you, there is no shame, there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. If you lay it down, He will bring you victory. He wants to give you victory. He wants to give you victory over that temper that has tried to have control. You got to be willing to lay it down. So this morning, if you're at home, I'm going to ask that you make your house a place of worship. Because what after the Israelites did this, they took a time to just worship. Can you just make your area an altar? If you're here in this house and you need victory, I want you to make a place, your altar, to lay it down, to ask God to circumcise your heart. We can respond. So wherever you are, if you're here, we've got places up in the front. Let's seek the Lord. It's time. It's time. The Lord wants to give us victory, but the battle belongs to Him. He wants to make us in a place that we're not, it's not about our strength and our power. It's about Him. Because in our weakness, He's made strong. Let's bow our heads.